Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to Mind Mastery and Manifestation. So today we're going to talk about something that I know very, very intimately. This whole feeling of needing to do more, needing to be more, needing to achieve more, and just how to do it. I know that I've felt this like every single day for a couple of years as I first started my business. And it almost felt like whatever I achieved, I always, I needed more. I needed to do more. No matter how much I earned, I needed to earn more. And so today on this episode, we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about that drive. And we're going to talk about what works and what doesn't. Because that urge or that need or, I'm going to straight up call it an addiction, can push people into doing things that feel like you're doing more, but really you're just working more. And we're going to help you get some real clarity on this and give you some really effective strategies and tools and techniques that'll allow you to get more done in actually less time and with less effort.
Yeah. I think the big piece here is really identifying the addiction that is in the doingness. And so we're going to be using some fun language patterns. If the language patterns resonate with you, awesome. If for any reason you're not quite keeping up with the language patterns, just kind of tune in it and play with it and go with it. And you'll start to hear the patterns that we're sharing with you guys. And it'll start to make more sense as we go through the episode. But when we're talking about doing this, basically it's like that innate behavior of needing to constantly be doing something, whether it's working or it's Google searching or being on the phone, right? We can't sit still. There's an uncomfortability in being still. And this is, I think a lot of us can relate, like there's been a trend around this in the last 5-10 years in the entrepreneurial world. And there's a lot shifting now as people are becoming more conscious. In the last 5-10 years, it was very much this mentality of like hustle, go, achieve, bigger, faster, more. And that's what we're referring to in this state of like doing this, in this addictive state where you almost don't have control over being able to like not stop doing whatever it is that you're doing. And if you do, you start to feel guilty or you start to feel sorry or like you start to feel any kind of less desirable emotions. And so you then continue the doingness, the behaviors to avoid the feeling of what happens or what comes up when you're not in that state of doing.
Yeah. And the thing is that this pattern is not just purely psychological, right? It actually has really significant ramifications on your brain structure. Like there's a part of your brain called the basal ganglia, and it is responsible for setting your idle energy, right? When your idle energy is lower, you're more calm. If it's too low, you can go into depression. But, when it's nice and balanced, then you have a calm energy. You can think clearly. You can feel good. Doesn't matter whether you're working or chilling out. You're balanced. You're present. You're feeling right. When your basal ganglia is overactive, then your idle, your resting energy is higher. And we call that anxiety. And so that's why people can fall into workaholism, because they literally cannot chill out because the anxiety increases. It's too high. And the way to avoid that, the way to calm it down is jump into action. Use that energy, right? But the problem is, though, when you're in that space of working, achieving, to feel better, to eliminate the anxiety, what you're doing is actually counterproductive, because the more your brain goes into things like anxiety or stress or overwhelm, the less energy gets put into the parts of your brains that are responsible for creative, strategic, logical thought, self-awareness, innovation, problem solving. All that stuff goes right out the window. Now, you might be the kind of person who can still produce good quality work. Like, it's so interesting. I was talking with a client of mine explaining this, and they said, yeah, but I do well under stress. Like I produce high quality work. And my question there is, Yeah, you might be one of those people who could do it, but you're doing it despite that anxiety and stress, not because of it. And if you really want to do more, right, you want to get into this higher level of productivity, better creativity, then what we want to do is allow you to use all of you and to calm your brain down, to reduce that habit and to change things in your day-to-day life so that you can feel calm and balanced and awesome, so that you can think clearly, be focused, stay creative and persistent with your work, and actually do more.
So it's really interesting. I love kind of getting into to archetypes and then also reflecting on like personal experience with running these types of programs. Because I can so clearly remember, and Dan, I'm sure you have your own experiences, last year especially, and any time leading up to it, where I was just constantly on the go. And a big part of it was just the environments that I was in. I was training for the bikini comp. I was working like crazy. And it was like praise to be busy. Like busy was this badge of honor. And so it was like, how can I have the most packed schedule and be the busiest person on the bus, right? And be up as late as possible doing all the things. And it was so interesting because during that time, like I had never really experienced anxiety in my young adult life and even in childhood until I started working as crazily as I did and starting to depend so much on like caffeine, especially where, you know, a good friend of mine jokes that the entrepreneurial world runs off of bulletproof coffee and anxiety. And I was 100% one of the people that ran that pattern where it was bulletproof coffee in the mornings, get me through the day, and then constantly feeling anxious in between projects and then drinking more coffee to work harder to just crash at the end of the night and feel some sense of achievement, even though I was consistently burnt out. And as you guys know, it led to a lot of adrenal stuff, a lot of fatigue, a lot of exhaustion, a lot of burnout, and it took months, if not a year, to really recover from all of that. And Dan, I know that you're right now going through a lot of adrenal stuff as well. But a big part of this, in my personal experience, had been from pushing way too hard and really overexerting so much energy and even energy that I didn't necessarily have to try to do things quicker, to try to fix some sort of need to be somewhere faster because of what I believed it was going to give me.
There are a couple things on that. And yes, I am in the middle of healing from adrenal fatigue. And guys, I don't know if you've heard about adrenal fatigue. Sophie and I have talked about this on the podcast. This is legit, like without exaggeration. This is the worst I've ever felt. This is the longest it's ever taken me to heal from anything. And it's not just about being tired, right? Like I actually have not felt happy for the last 5 months. I've had 3 days. That's it. 3 days where I've actually been in a good mood because my adrenals have been fucked. I mean, they wiped out my kidneys, my liver also, right? Because the adrenals are in touch with your organs. So stay away from adrenal fatigue, right? If you want to do more, that is not the road to go down, okay? But for me, I mean, I did it just from living too hard. It doesn't need to be from working too hard. But you know, we covered that previously. But the thing here is that, you know, we do this, especially like in Western cultures, like Sophie was saying, it is a badge of honor. It's like significance. It's like for me, when I was first starting my business, I got a sense of significance from like, you know, being a beast. Oh, I put in a 16-hour workday yesterday. You know, like I post 5 times a day. Like I used to do all this shit. You know, and it's like me constantly flexing, like on who? I don't know, myself, I guess. Because it's bullshit. It doesn't make you any more significant because you work a lot. In fact, I would argue that it makes you less because, you know, if you feel like that's what it is, it's almost like feeling more important as a person because you have bigger muscles or a nicer car. It's bullshit. Like these things are vanities, right? They don't actually have any meaning or importance. However, if you think that's what it is and that's how you feel, and remember, I did this for years, the more you push in on this, the more you actually change your brain structure. And the more you push in on that, right, elevating your resting levels of anxiety, the more you set off that part of your brain, the basal ganglia, right? So not only does it then lock in that sense of anxiety, which means you're going to feel that shit, whether you're achieving stuff or not, whether you're on vacation or whether you're at work, whether it's a weekend or a weekday, you're going to feel that shit because that's what your brain has now been programmed for. But also, it leads you to doing things like catastrophizing. When your basal ganglia is overactive from this habitual pushing, you start naturally gravitating to thinking the worst, right? It'll make you nervous. It can give you panic attacks. Your brain tilts to seeing the glass half empty. You might become conflict avoidant. So when things are important in your life or things are going wrong in your relationships or with your clients, you'll sacrifice your own boundaries and you won't defend yourself as much. Your motivation can go through the floor, right? So it's interesting that the more you push on this, thinking like, oh, I'm super motivated, well, eventually you're going to find that that motivation will start waning and it'll start draining right out of you. And it'll be really hard to maintain that level of work, which is also why you fall into drinking more coffee, which exacerbates the problem even more. It creates this cycle, right? So we see that like this cycle needs to end. If you actually want to be as productive as possible, this cycle needs to go.
Yeah. So what Dan's talking about here is huge. And I think the biggest piece that now you have the awareness around what it looks like is how do you actually shift it, right? How do you actually go from the constant state of anxiety, from the panic attacks, from really feeling like there's no way that you cannot be doing something, to being someone who's really chill, really mellow, somebody who can take multiple days off and still see massive success in their business. And I love, love, love speaking to this. It's actually kind of funny. I wrote a post about this a few days ago, reflecting on my personal businesses and my companies. And when I was looking at my bank statements and comparing 2018 to 2019, the time that we're recording this podcast, we've already surpassed the total revenue that we did in 2018 inside of this year for 2019. And in 2018, I was pushing easily 12 plus hour days, was caffeinated 24/7, and was just hustling harder than anyone else out there, but ended up burning out. And it's ironic because I look at the profit and the revenue that we've generated for 2019. We're not even to the end of the year yet, and we've already like surpassed that revenue. And I've probably worked an average of like 4 to 5 hours a day. And quite frankly, my schedule is like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays are the only days that I'm really actually dedicating to client calls or to any kind of actual like focus. And granted, there's seasons when I'm in marketing mode that are a little bit more intense, but on average, the time spent is so much less. And the reason behind that is just because of the systems that we've been able to develop to really support that kind of flow. And I think that's where a lot of people are struggling, is they don't have systems, whether they're self-care systems, embodiment systems, rituals, or business systems. These are all things that create stability for you so that you can actually spend a lot less time in the doingness and actually be able to spend more time in your being.
And this is why it's so funny. Like this morning I woke up and I was thinking just about what I did yesterday and thoughts about what should I post today or what should I put in my Instagram stories. And I realized like, man, I've been going back to some basic shit over the last couple of days. But you know, what's really funny is that, you know, you talk to, or you read interviews with like Kobe Bryant, wakes up at 4:30 in the morning to go practice free throws and dribbling. He's arguably the best player in the game, like ever, right? People are calling him the best basketball player who's ever lived. And he still focuses on these fundamentals because they make the difference. And here, when you know, we're talking about these routines, these practices, rituals, self-care, that's really what we're talking about. The fundamentals of getting shit done. And here, I'm going to just drop some stuff on you here, and it's all going to sound super basic. And with each one, you will probably question how effective it is, why it's so important. You might feel the urge to brush it off, but these are super important, because when we're talking about reprogramming your brain, remember, when you're in this habit of like, gotta do enough, right? You literally reprogram your brain to be anxious and to be freaked out and to not think creatively or strategically, but to think about survival. And that's not helping you produce. But stuff like playing with a pet, taking walks outside, going into nature, studies showing that even just looking at a picture of a beautiful nature scene for 2 minutes can calm your brain down enough, right? Coloring. I have a book of mandalas that I've gotten like addicted to, just coloring in silence. I don't even have music playing. I just let my brain drift, right? Social bonding, but like really social bonding, not getting together for anything other than laughing your ass off, right? Or just a long time, like physically bonding, like hugs, right? Cuddling, kissing, you know, just like real, like physical affection is amazing for that kind of stuff. Taking time, taking a long bath, you know, stuff like that. Just listening to music, chilling out, doing nothing. And I know you think, no, Dan, I don't want to do nothing. I want to do more. Yeah. Okay. So when you chill out and when you install these self-care habits, and the plus there's so much more, I'm just giving you some ideas. When you have these things to calm your brain down and take you out of survival and into chill, right, into performance, where ideas come from, solutions, and you know, all the best innovations come from this space, you end up doing more literally by doing less. It's exactly why self-care is so damn important. It's not about just helping you feel better or taking a break. It's actually a part of your workday. And if you don't have it in there, you ain't doing your job.
So really what we're speaking to is effectivity and efficiency. And a lot of us pride ourselves, at least in the past, used to pride ourselves on this idea of, well, I work so hard and I push so hard and I spend all day. But if we actually look at your productivity, right, with the 12-hour days that you spent, how much of that time was actually efficient and effective in producing results? And ironically, when we would look at this, you'll find that like so much of the time, especially when we get into a lot of online entrepreneurs who part of their business is content creation, spend hours staring at a blank screen and getting frustrated and trying to write content. And they spend an entire day trying to write something and becoming so frustrated in the process that it literally takes them all day to do it. When on the other end of this, you have somebody who has a routine in place, a practice in place, and every day they go through this embodiment practice where they put themselves in an elevated emotional state. They elicit these emotions of pleasure and joy and ease and grace. And they sit down for 20, 30 minutes and they just write. And they every single day consistently create content, but it's just coming from that place and they're so much more effective. So instead of spending 12 hours trying to write a post, somebody's able to dedicate 20, 30 minutes a day over the course of the week. I'm not great at math, but my assumption is like, what is that, Dan? What's 7 times 30? That's an hour times.
So it's like, what, is that 3.5 hours?
3.5 hours. We'll go with that. It's roughly 3.5 hours that you're spending creating content and it's just produced and you're not having to deal with any of that stress or that frustration. Right. So the first thing that I'll always tell clients is whenever you start to notice yourself experiencing those lower vibrational emotions, those less desirable emotions, let that be your trigger to stop, right? To step back, to slow down, because that's when you're kind of shifting your state. And trying to do anything from a state of frustration, especially anything creatively based, is never going to work. Because what I found is you can't be stressed out and creative at the same time. It just doesn't work. So allowing yourself to rewire and reframe for yourself, oh, okay, I'm starting to feel stressed. I'm starting to feel frustrated. Let that be my sign to go and do something that I know and you can really hack your own creative flow will actually help elevate my emotional state.
It's so funny how this, and this was like the big mantra for so many years, people telling each other, I want to work smarter, not harder, but what does that mean? Right? And it's a really funny thing. It's one of my favorite questions to ask people. Like, what does working smarter actually mean? And not many people can answer it, right? Or they think that it's time management, or they think that they think it's delegation. And then they go and work their 14-hour days, right? So it's sort of like, yeah, I'm working smarter. And yet really what they're doing is just working a lot. And they're trying to bulldoze their problems. But like Sophie was saying, like, no, you literally cannot be creative and stressed out at the same time. Your brain won't let you. You know, without getting into the neuroscience behind it, just know that they're working on opposite sides of the spectrum. So the more stressed out you are, the less creative you can be, period. So that's not working smarter. Working smarter is taking your time ahead of time. Right? It's like you don't go to the gym and just start throwing around the heaviest weights you possibly can, right? That's ridiculous. You stretch a little bit, at least I hope so. Or else you're just getting injured every single time you go, right? And it's the same sort of thing. You know, if you try to go and you just try to hammer through a 12 to 14 hour day without getting into the right mental state, you're going to hurt yourself too, right? Whether it's you'll waste an entire day or you get super frustrated, you make a hell of a lot of mistakes. You put out some awful quality shit that you don't even like, right? But prepare ahead of time, right? Make sure that you're feeling really good. You're feeling excited. You're feeling passionate. You're feeling confident. You're feeling chilled out. You're in the right space. Then you work. Not only do you save a hell of a lot of time, like Sophie was saying, but you're literally working smarter. You're activating the parts of your brain that will help you think more creatively and more strategically. So things like, you know, self-care or just honoring yourself in your process. Like when Sophie was saying, like, hey, you're starting to feel frustrated. You're starting to feel stressed out. That's okay. You're allowed to take a break. You're allowed to set things down and walk away from it. You're allowed to go take care of yourself and say, like, you know what? I need a walk. I'm going to go clear my head. And if you think for a second, oh, you know, it's taking time away from work. No, it's not at all. It's doing the exact opposite. It's allowing you to make the most out of your time. So it is not taking time away from work. It is putting time into working better and smarter. And that goes into honoring, you know, honor thyself, not just while you're working, all the time, right? So things like boundaries, right? Making sure that you really treat yourself well in your workday. Even just a time boundary, you know, there are a lot of studies done on this, by the way, that, you know, if you're trying to get a lot done on a project, you get diminishing returns after about an hour of focus, which is, by the way, hard enough. Try to focus on just one thing for an hour and see how you do. It's tough, right? Try to focus on something for 3 hours in a shot and just try to imagine the quality of work you can get done after 3 hours. It's really hard to keep that, you know, to maintain it. And studies show that. So, even, you know, you work for an hour, take a 5-minute break or a 10-minute break. And even just that is enough to replenish your energy so that when you come back, you're working even better. So setting up time boundaries, setting up boundaries with other people, what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do for others. You know, what kind of projects are you willing to take on? For who and when do you do them? Right? So setting up all these little structures and systems in place so that you feel energized and calm and well-rested and passionate about your work and feeling like you're doing this out of desire, not out of obligation. All these things can help you really focus better, think more clearly, and produce better work.
I love this. I'm going to give you guys a fun little tool. What Dan's talking about is this idea of brain sprints. I can't remember the man that coined this. But essentially, it's this idea that you do 20 minutes of focused work, and then you take 5 minutes of literally doing nothing. And there's a cool little app. It's called Tomato Timer, and you can get it either on your iPhone or on your Android, or you can just have it on your desktop. And yeah, it'll just go ahead and put the timer on for you, and you'll go 20 minutes on, and then when the timer goes off, you just sit. You're not on your phone scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or responding to any messages. You're just sitting, just being, just breathing, and just allowing your nervous system to relax. And it actually allows you to work so much longer in a much more effective and efficient way versus trying to just like hustle through and get a bunch of stuff done in a small amount of time without taking any breaks. And the other thing that comes up here is your state of being and your embodiment. So I think we all know that we are so much more effective when we're in a higher state of joy and happiness and fulfillment and excitement. And the question often becomes, well, how do I create and how do I embody for myself this higher state of being, right? This state where I feel more joy consistently, where I elevate and create that expanded emotional state, and that becomes my norm. So similarly to where you can shift your anxiety levels, right, and create a new normal for anxiety, you can do the same thing with joy. And there's an amazing woman, a good friend, her name's Christine Earthart, and she has a TED Talk that I would highly, highly encourage. It's called Unleash Your Joy Potential. And what she talks about, her philosophy, is that you can actually increase the amount of joy that you can feel. And by increasing the amount of joy that you can feel, you actually set a new normal for yourself on what your normal state of being is. So instead of your normal state just being bland or stressed or just like, okay, you can be this happy, exhilarated, joyful human being all the time, at least majority of the time, and that gets to be your norm. And really a big part of that comes from the actual lifestyle that you create for yourself and how, like Dan's talking about, you're honoring yourself, but more importantly, the routines and rituals that you're putting in place that create that elevated emotional state.
Now, it's really funny that I feel like it was very much a woo or like hippie sort of thing when people said, follow your joy or follow your bliss. But again, and I've been super nerdy and love it. So if you're sick of hearing me talk about the brain, sorry, not going to. There are a lot of studies that show that the human brain turns on when we experience things like joy or love. It's weird that when we are in a state of love or joy or bliss, you put a person like that into an fMRI and the whole brain is active. The whole brain is on fire. Everything is firing off. Your neurons, every part of you is alive. And that's amazing, right? Like, isn't that what we want? When we want to work, when we want to do anything, when we want to have fun, when we want to chill, any time of the day, right? Don't we want to just use all of us, bring all of us to the table? Like when people are talking about like, oh, I feel like I have a lot of potential in me. How do I activate that? That, get yourself into an elevated emotion. And you don't need a lot in order to do it. People think that we need so many big things. You know, we need a month off. We need to achieve this or that in order to feel these elevated emotions. No, you don't. You really don't. Go back to the fundamentals. Right? Really sit there and think about what makes you happy. It's probably basic stuff. For me, I love a lot of sunlight, really good EDM or like gangster rap for some reason. I don't know why. it makes me happy. I can't tell you why. You know, playing with my girlfriend's dog, just spending time in nature. That's it. You give me that, you put me in the middle of the woods, I'm the happiest dude on the planet. I don't need anything more complex than that. And chances are you don't either, right? So maybe what you just need to do is sit there and really think about it. And like, what does get you into that higher state of emotion? How can you give yourself those things in small increments? You don't need a lot, right? 5-10 minutes as your breaks, you know, throughout your day, right? If you're doing the tomato counter, like 5 minutes of nothing, great. Well, then maybe every once in a while have 5 minutes of like rocking out to music, 5 minutes of, you know, playing with your dog or your cat or whatever, right? These small things that can bring in even more joy add up. And they really do make a huge difference. But that's also why it's important for you to handle your shit, right? Not just in business, but like all over your life. Anything that could potentially drag you down, turn it into something that's lifting you up. That's why it's so important, I think, to have amazing relationships. A lot of entrepreneurs ask me, like, well, you know, is it good to have a relationship or get into a new relationship when I'm trying to scale my business? And my answer is, as long as it's the right relationship. When you're in a relationship with someone who's truly loving and supportive and they communicate, you know, clearly with you and you guys have fun, then yeah, that could be an amazing thing. And then even 5 minutes with your partner could be that thing to give you that spark of joy, right? But relationship problems can wipe it all out, right? Or if you're feeling unhealthy, right? Get yourself healthy. Go eat well. Work out. Do yoga. Do something. Move your body so you physically feel good. Is your environment set up to make you feel good, right? Look at your entire life and see what kind of tweaks you can make that will add more chill, more calm, more fun, more joy, more love, more passion into your day-to-day. It doesn't even have to be big. Look for the small things, easy, low-hanging fruit that you can change today, and it'll make a big difference on your quality of work.
And the golden rule that I've found with this is simplicity is bliss. The more that we can simplify our lives and simplify ourselves, the more joy that we tend to feel. And it can be as simple as, how can you declutter? How can you create space? How can you just have more time with yourself to just be, to just breathe? So all that being said, when you actually start to integrate these things, you become so much more impactful, effective, efficient inside of your business or your career, whatever it is that you're doing. And everything gets done in so much less time, right? So the more time that you spend honoring and nurturing and taking care of you, the more that you're able to show up so much more powerfully from a full cup to be able to serve in the world.
And that is how you do more, by literally doing less. So your task for this episode is to sit with yourself, see how you can simplify things, see how you can declutter, see what makes you happy, what brings you joy. Start adding these things into your day, like time block them if you need to, get the tomato timer, do whatever the hell you need to do in order to infuse this in your day, right? So that these are just built in, right? Create a system for how you're going to, the coach who says, bring the joy is his big thing.
Was that Brendan Burchard?
Brendan Burchard, right. Yeah. And he would set up a timer, I think, on his phone for a while that every once in a while popped up and said, bring the joy. I love that. So how can you bring yourself the joy or the chill, the calm, the whatever you need to rebalance your brain, to help you be more, embody more, and do a lot more while enjoying a lot more at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And I think, Dan, that's their task for this episode, yes?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. So on that note, guys, go do less. go be more and really just spend some time in nature. I think that's the biggest thing that we've both found. And whatever works for mm-hmm. you, whether it's just standing outside and embracing the sun, or whether it's just putting your feet in sand and just grounding. But otherwise, thank you so much for tuning into this episode, and we will see you guys on the next one.
Oh, guys, one thing, and I know this is like a little bit of do more, but if you enjoyed this episode, if you enjoyed this podcast, do us a huge favor. Hop on iTunes, leave us 5 stars, drop a review. Let us know you loved it. That would mean the world to us. Thank you so much in advance. Lots of love. See you guys.